Please turn now with me back to Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2, and we will reread the text that we consider this morning. Galatians chapter 2, and the text is verses 11 through 14. Verses 11 through 14 of Galatians 2. But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. And the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, If thou, being a Jew, livest after the manner of Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? Paul here writes to the Galatians, to the Galatian congregations, who had once held firm to the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The truth of justification by faith alone. But now, because of false teachers called Judaizers, the Galatian churches had strayed from this truth. And Paul writes to them in order to rebuke them and to argue against the Judaizer false teachers that had infiltrated those churches in Galatia. There were two ways in which these Judaizers had attacked the truth of God's word. First, they had brought doubt to Paul's credibility. They had come to the churches in Galatia and they had spoken against Paul and said that he was not truly an apostle of Jesus Christ. And therefore, what he said was not necessarily true. They had brought doubt to his credibility. And secondly, these Judaizers then had spread their lies. They had spoken against the gospel that Paul had brought and said that justification was not only by faith, but also by the works of the law, especially by the works of circumcision and the other ceremonial laws that the Jews had. So Paul, in response to these Judaizers, writes this letter to the churches in Galatia. And he approaches them in this letter, responding to the Judaizers in the way that the Judaizers had attacked. He defended his credibility, first of all. In chapters 1 and 2, that's what he concentrates on. He shows that he truly is an apostle of Jesus Christ, and he argues for this. And then in the end of chapter 2, and for the most part, the rest of the book and the letter, Paul argues for the truth of justification by faith alone, similar to what he does in the book of Romans. The story about Peter that makes up the text that we consider today is in line with this approach of Paul. He responds to the Judaizers. In this story, he shows his credibility. For in the churches of Galatia, many respected the apostle Peter. Peter was well known. Everyone knew that he was one of the outstanding disciples of Jesus Christ himself. And Peter knew what was the truth. But in this story, Paul had to rebuke Peter. Paul therefore shows through the story that he was at least just as authoritative as the Apostle Peter, whom the Galatians respected, and even of greater authority at times. For he had to rebuke Peter and correct Peter. And Paul also in the story speaks against the Judaizer false gospel. For Peter, in his erring ways and by his erring actions, had joined himself with the Judaizers. Paul had to stand up against Peter. The gospel that Paul taught, salvation by Jesus Christ alone, through faith alone, that precious gospel had to stand, even if it meant the public reproval of a respected apostle like Peter. Therefore, with the desire to prove his credibility and with the desire to show forth the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, Paul tells this story to the Galatians. A story concerning a conflict that he had with the apostle Peter in another church, in the church of Antioch. Consider, therefore, this narrative with me under the theme, Peter's hypocrisy withstood. Peter's hypocrisy withstood. First, the divisive hypocrisy. Second, a necessary rebuke. And third, the beneficial result. For a while, the church in Antioch was at peace. They were united in the faith. There were both Jews and Gentiles in this church in Antioch, people with totally different cultures, and yet in Antioch there was peace and there was unity under the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul and Barnabas had been at this church for a while, along with many other ministers, and they had preached faithfully the gospel of justification by faith alone. And the Jews and the Gentiles here in Antioch had grown in spiritual maturity. They understood the gospel. They understood that salvation was by grace through faith alone, apart from the works of the law. And the Jews especially understood that they did not have to force the Gentiles to perform these works, these ceremonial laws, and these laws of circumcision and refraining of eating certain meats. For salvation was not by these works. Salvation was by grace alone. So the Jews allowed the Gentiles to live in their culture, eating what they wanted, and not performing the sacrifices like the Jews did, and not circumcising their children and themselves. They lived at peace. In fact, many of these Jews in Antioch matured to such an extent that they, as Jews, saw their own freedom. They saw that Christ had fulfilled the Old Testament law. These laws, these ceremonies that they had, were only types that pointed ahead to Christ. And Christ, Jesus, had already come to fulfill the law. These Jews, therefore, saw that they didn't have to follow these ceremonial laws either. So they joined themselves with the Gentiles. They ate with the Gentiles, eating what at one time they thought was unclean. They fellowshipped with these Gentiles, people that at one point they thought were themselves unclean. They enjoy the freedom. freedom that they had with Christ here in Antioch. And they dwell peacefully with one another. And the Apostle Peter came from Jerusalem to this thriving church in the city of Antioch. A young church, but quite a mature church at this point. And Peter saw his freedom as well. God had revealed to Peter much. Peter knew the gospel of Christ very well. You will remember that at one point, God showed a vision to Peter while he was on a roof. And in this vision, while Peter was praying, God had spread out a sheet before him. And upon the sheet, there were all kinds of animals that the Jews saw as unclean. And through this vision, God had shown to Peter that the Gentiles were not to be called unclean, but God had made them clean. And through this vision, God had also shown to Peter that such animals were not unclean if God said that they were clean. Peter had great knowledge at this time. And he shows his great knowledge later on in Acts 15 when he argued for not forcing the Gentiles to be circumcised. In Acts 15, there was the Jerusalem Council, and many wanted the Gentiles to perform circumcision and to be like the Jews, following their laws and their ceremonies. And Peter, along with the other apostles, spoke out, saying, "Now, therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of these disciples? We believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved, even as they." Salvation, Peter proclaimed, was not by the works of the law, but by grace alone, in Christ alone. So he argued, showed his knowledge that the Gentiles did not have to follow these laws. And when Peter came to Antioch, he even participated with the Jewish and Gentile practices there. He enjoyed the freedom that he knew he had in Christ. He sat around that table with the Jews and Gentiles. He ate of those meats, the delicious meats that at one point he thought were unclean. Peter joined himself with these Gentiles and he fellowshiped with them, enjoying them, these people that at one point in his life he thought were unclean. He enjoyed the unity and the freedom there in the church at Antioch. But then, something happened. Certain Jews came from the city of Jerusalem. Verse 12 records the coming of these Jews. Verse 12 says that certain came from James. Now these that came from James were not sent by James. But these Jews that came from James were simply from the place where James was a prominent leader. That was Jerusalem. These Jews came from Jerusalem, where James was a leader. And these Jews, says verse 12, were of the circumcision. Now this expression does not simply refer to people that were circumcised, but those of the circumcision were Jews who promoted the circumcision of all believers. These Jews required both Jews and Gentiles to be circumcised. These probably, most probably, were the Judaizers. Same false teachers that would later come to the church in Galatia and spread their false gospel. These Judaizers believed that they were to make all Gentiles who believe in Christ, they were to make them Jews. That's what Judaize means, to make one a Jew. They proclaimed and taught that Gentiles were not only saved through faith, but also, in addition to that, by the works of the law. Circumcision, ceremonial and civil laws of Israel, and even the many other man-made laws that the Pharisees had made and invented. Peter heard that these Judaizers were coming. And when they arrived, Peter did something drastic. At one point, he was fellowshipping with these Gentiles. At one point, he ate with them, ate what they ate, did what they did. And now he separated himself from them. Quickly, he changed his way of life. He was worried about what these Jews might think. What would these outstanding Jews think of him if they saw him living like a Gentile and eating like them? They might be offended, he thought. They might even reprimand him. So he stopped. He stopped eating with the Gentiles. He despised them through his actions. He showed that he was not really their friends. In fact, he made himself look just like a Judaizer, so that these Judaizers would like him. Peter's actions affected the whole church in Antioch. Peter was a prominent apostle, remember? Everyone looked up to him. And so when he separated himself from these Gentile believers, verse 13 says that other Jews dissembled likewise with him. That is, they also separated themselves from the Gentiles. The Jews saw what Peter did and followed his bad example. Is that not what happens often when a leader does something? He has many followers. These Jews also stopped eating and drinking with the Gentiles. These Jews also treated their Gentile brethren and their Gentile sisters as lesser people. And these Jews, with Peter, acted just like the Judaizers. Even Barnabas, a companion of Paul, did this. Now think about it. Barnabas had recently gone with the Apostle Paul on the first missionary journey to the Gentiles. He, with Paul, had preached in love to the Gentiles. And now, seeing what Peter did, he also joined and despised the Gentiles. What was supposed to be, and what once was, an assembly of people united together, now became a divided whole, a dissembly. With this story, Paul shows Peter's hypocrisy and the consequences of Peter's hypocrisy. It indeed was hypocrisy. Paul accuses Peter of this in verse 13. Literally, the words there, and the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, could be translated, and the other Jews joined in pretension or hypocrisy with Peter. What is hypocrisy? When we think of hypocrisy, we often think back to the times of Jesus and the Pharisees, whom Christ called hypocrites. Now, these hypocrites taught, preached, and said to the people what they ought to do. They spoke especially concerning the law. And then, secretly, they disobeyed that same law. That is, their words, their teachings, were inconsistent with their actions. What they said and what they did not match up. That's a hypocrite, a pretender, a deceiver, a liar. Peter now was not like those Pharisees in the sense that he himself was a hypocrite and he had that dark heart that was always hypocritical. Peter's father was not Satan the liar, as Christ accused the Pharisees of. But at this point in his life, Peter acted that part of a hypocrite. Peter taught and he professed to believe something and then acted inconsistent with that teaching, contrary to that word. Now, what were his inconsistencies? All of his inconsistencies are related to the very gospel of Jesus Christ. That was what was so severe about his actions. All of his inconsistencies related to the gospel that he was called to proclaim faithfully to the world. That is why verse 14 says, "They walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel." That is, Peter and those who had followed him walked not according to the truth of the gospel. There were three things concerning the gospel of Jesus Christ that Peter acted inconsistently with. First of all, Peter had confessed and he had taught that there was no difference between Jew and Gentile. Remember, God had revealed that to him in a vision. Peter was not to call unclean what was clean. Jewish and Gentile believers were equal, for Christ Jesus had died for all of them. Jews were not better. Gentiles were on an equal plane. Salvation was theirs just as much as salvation was for the Jews. Secondly, Peter knew when he had taught and he had confessed that Christ had fulfilled the law. There was no need to obey the ceremonial laws. Yes, the Jews could continue doing these things, these practices, performing circumcision and eating the kind of things they ate. But they were not to require the Gentiles to do this. For Jesus Christ had fulfilled that law. Third, and most importantly, Paul had taught the heart of the gospel. He had confessed and preached that salvation was by Jesus Christ alone, apart from the works of the law. Apart from any work of the law. Justification was by faith alone. But now, with his actions, Peter denied these three different aspects of the gospel of Jesus Christ. First, that once he had taught and professed that all were equal. Christ had died for both Jew and Gentile alike. But now, he separated himself from the Gentiles. He despised the Gentiles. He showed with his actions that those Gentiles were not equal with him. Christ did not love them as much as he loved the Jews. That was what he communicated with his actions. Secondly, and once he had taught that Christ had fulfilled the law, now he contradicted that with his teaching. By separating himself from the Gentiles, He was communicating to them and to all around him that everyone still had to obey the law. If they did not, they were lesser people. Really, they were not truly saved. That's what he communicated with his actions. And third, Peter denied the central doctrine of the gospel of grace. Salvation without the works of the law was what he once spoke. And now, by separating himself from the Gentiles, he was communicating that the Gentiles must do the works of the law in order to be saved. They must be circumcised. He had joined himself with the Judaizers. He had acted like a Judaizer. He was in line with them at this point. By his actions, he was teaching salvation. Not only by Christ alone, but also by the works of the law. Do you see, people of God, how actions can communicate a doctrine? How actions can assault the very gospel you say you hold to very dearly? Peter fell in this way. The result then, you see, was not only a disunity in the church at Antioch, but it was also a compromise with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why did Peter do this? Because he feared man. Verse 12 says that he feared those that were of the circumcision. Fear is to show respect or to revere someone and to admire someone. And often the fear of man is opposed to the fear of God. Peter feared man instead of God in this occasion. These Jews to Peter were well known. There were good reports in the church at Jerusalem. Peter was from Jerusalem. These Jews were leaders. These Jews were upright in the sight of everyone. He knew that these Jews would despise him if they saw what he did with the Gentiles. And so, out of fear of them, because he admired them, because he revered them, he did what they did. Now we understand what fear of man is. Each one of us has felt that pressure. You know of a prominent person, someone who is outstanding in ability, perhaps, someone very skillful, someone who is a leader. So we want to be pleasing in his sight. We fear him or her. And that influences very often our actions in the sight of these people. That's the fear of man. And often, our actions are not according to God's word. We are pressured to do these sinful deeds because we fear man. And that is what Peter did. He wanted the Jews to have a good perspective of him. He didn't want those Jews to go back to Jerusalem, his hometown, and spread a dirty reputation of him. He wanted their approval. And so his actions shouted out, "I don't care about my Gentile brothers and sisters." His actions shouted out, "I don't care, at this point at least, about the gospel of Christ." His actions showed forth he did not care about the church and the unity of the church. He spoke by his actions that he only cared about himself and what others thought of him. The apostle of Jesus Christ now denied the gospel that he had been sent to preach. And he did it with his actions. People of God, Peter often gives us a picture of ourselves. Peter gives us a picture of how easy it is for us to be hypocrites. Say one thing, and then act inconsistently with that saying. Even with respect to the gospel. Like Peter, we teach and we confess. Some of you young people will confess publicly. You believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ, that Christ has died for Jew, Gentile, and all of his people in the whole world, all kinds of people. One is not lesser than the other. We say this. We teach this. We confess this publicly. But often we act like a hypocrite. We can do this within our congregation. We can do this among the people at school. We can do this among other believers in the world. Because of what they look like. Because of the race they are, we despise them. We separate ourselves from them. We don't treat them as we ought to treat our brother and our sister in Christ Jesus. Perhaps they're not our age. Perhaps we think they're not intelligent enough. Perhaps their opinions are wrong to you. And so, we exclude them from our fellowship. We view them as lesser people. And really, by our actions, we communicate like Peter. Christ has not died for them. At least not as much as he died for me. Such is hypocrisy. And such is contrary to the gospel that we say we believe. Young people, the cliques, the groups at school that exclude others in your class or in the school, such reveals a hypocrisy. You believe, children and young people, that Christ has died for all kinds. We must act that way. In love for our brothers and sisters. Do not follow Peter. Often young people, and often all of us, such exclusion of people is the result of the fear of man. Like Peter, we don't want to be seen with these people who have handicaps, who aren't like us. Because others might not like us as much then. Careful, people of God. Don't do certain things simply because of the fear of man. We must act consistently with the gospel of Jesus Christ, fearing God. Like Peter, we teach and confess that Christ has died so that all are saved apart from the works of the law. Apart from anyone. Do we act hypocritically with regard to this confession? Are we legalists? It's easy for us to look down on other Christians because of certain things that they do, certain Christian liberties that they engage in. And our actions communicate a certain hypocrisy that lies within our hearts. Let us examine our actions, especially as they relate to our relationships with one another and with other Christians in the world. Office bearers, this is especially a warning to you. Peter was a leader. By his hypocritical actions, he led the church astray. He divided the church. He compromised the truth of the gospel. He led others into hypocrisy. And he didn't do it with his words. He didn't preach heresy, but he acted it out. Constantly examine your actions. Make sure that they are not motivated by fear of man. Now, Paul was at the church in Antioch when Peter acted in such hypocrisy. And he gave to Peter a necessary rebuke. Verse 11 says, "I withstood him to the face." Paul walked right up to Peter, and before his face, he rebuked him. 1:1, he said that Peter ought not to be acting in this way. It did not matter who Peter was. Peter was a respected apostle by all. But Paul was not going to let the respected apostle of Jesus Christ, even such a one, he was not going to let divide the church and especially compromise the gospel. In Galatians 1 verse 8, we read of Paul's zeal for the gospel of Christ. He says in Galatians 1 verse 8, "But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed." Paul was not going to allow Peter's actions to compromise that gospel. Unlike Peter, Paul did not fear man, but he feared God. And so to Peter's face, he opposed him. Paul did this publicly. Verse 14 says, "I said unto Peter, before them all." Now you might think that is quite harsh. While the people, the church members of Antioch were in the fellowship room perhaps, gathered together, or in someone's house, Paul went right up to Peter before them all and publicly rebuked Peter to his face. Why? Because Peter had sinned publicly. And by his public sin, he had led many astray. He had caused half the church to sin with the same sin that he committed. It shows to us the necessity of public discipline in the church. Public discipline for a public sin. Such public discipline, though, it may seem harsh, it's for the good of God's people, for the spiritual health of the entire church. May we be diligent in that work. What did Paul say to Peter in this public rebuke? First, he shows Peter how inconsistent he was. He explains in verse 14 what Peter had done. Peter, Paul says, look at how you lived before the Jews came. You lived like the Gentiles, in the manner of the Gentiles, and not like all the other Jews in Jerusalem. And now when these Judaizers come, you separate yourselves from the Gentiles and live like the Jews instead. And by your actions, you are saying, Peter, you're saying that those Gentiles must live like the Jews. But at one point, Peter, you lived just like those Gentiles. Why are you compelling them to live like the Jews? Paul explains such an inconsistency to Peter. Then in verse 15 and following, Paul explains to Peter, or he explains in general how Peter had a greater inconsistency. He had contradicted the gospel of Jesus Christ and justification by faith alone. This rebuke was necessary for three reasons. First, it was necessary for the precious gospel of Jesus Christ to survive in the church. You see what would have happened to Antioch if Paul had allowed these actions to continue to fester in that church. Where would be the gospel of Christ? The gospel of justification by faith? What was acted out in the church soon would be preached by the Judaizers, just like in that church at Galatia. The false gospel had come in already without words, and soon that whole church would have been led astray. Such a public rebuke was necessary so that the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ would be preserved. Secondly, it was necessary for the unity of the church. The Jews were on one side and the Gentiles were on the other side. The Jews in pride thought that they were better than the Gentiles. They were joined with the Judaizers. And soon perhaps there would be a separate Judaizer cult apart from other Gentiles. And the Gentiles, many of them, probably would have bitterly gone back to their pagan religions or just remained bitter all their life long. Disunity. Paul's rebuke of Peter was necessary to restore that unity. This was also necessary, thirdly, because Peter needed to be restored. Peter was in danger. Peter had acted sinfully. The great apostle Peter, with his hypocritical actions against the gospel, had sinned against God, had sinned against Christ Jesus as Lord, and he deserved harsh judgment for his sin. He needed to repent. He needed someone to approach him and speak to him to his face. It was necessary for the apostle Paul to rebuke Peter for Peter's own good. Such rebuke is necessary in our church as well. Church discipline must be carried out with boldness. We must be faithful in our work. Elders must be faithful in their responsibility to lead the church in such discipline. Like Paul, we must boldly rebuke the erring one. Why? For the preservation of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for the preservation of the unity of this congregation, for the salvation of your brother and sister. Such a bold rebuke must be carried out by the members of the church. That is why it's called church discipline. It's hard. And no, we are not called to be policemen or watchdogs, looking out for every weakness you can find. No, but in love for the gospel and in love for our brothers and sisters, we must to their faces rebuke them when they sin. To their faces. Not gossiping to other people. Not spreading a rumor of their sin. To their face, approaching them, speaking in a loving way, in the proper manner, what they have done against God and against the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's do that privately first, using the guidelines in Matthew 18. Again, to your neighbor first, face to face, and then with a brother. Such such work, such hard work, rebuking, admonishing one another. It's a calling of ours, and God will reward us for that. He will give us a beneficial result. That church in Antioch was benefited because of the withstanding of Peter's hypocrisy by Paul. The gospel of justification by faith alone was preserved in that church. And proof of that is seen in what Antioch became. Antioch became the center of missionary activity later on. They had begun that, and they continued to be that. The gospel, the true gospel of justification by faith alone, spread from Antioch all across the world, primarily through the preaching of Paul. The gospel of Christ was preserved in that church. The unity of the church was preserved with Paul's rebuke. Peter turned from his sin, and others with Peter turned from their sin and united together with their Gentile brothers and sisters again, loving one another as they ought, loving the truth of the gospel as they should. Once again, God's people dwell in unity and enjoy the freedom that Christ had given them. And Peter himself is brought back to repentance. Peter was convinced of Paul's reproval, turned from his way. That is why Paul would give a record of this story to the Galatians. Peter must have turned from his sin to preach the truth again in Jerusalem and here in Antioch. It was beneficial for Peter. Believers of the true gospel of Jesus Christ here, God uses your consistent living with the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ for the good of His church. And God uses your faithful admonition of one another for the preservation of His church. Do that faithfully. Does not mean it's going to be easy. Remember, Peter acted hypocritically, and because of he was a leader, many joined. It's going to be so easy for us to join with the majority, with those who are popular. We must stand firm. It's going to be hard. Many respectable individuals are going to turn from this gospel later on. We must stand upon the truth of God's word, admonishing one another faithfully. Pray for strength, people of God. Follow Paul's example. It was hard for him. His own companion, Barnabas, had gone along with the crowd. He had followed suit. He had joined to sin against the brothers and sisters in Antioch. But Paul stood firm. Let us follow him. May God preserve the gospel of grace here in this church and in our churches, enabling us to live lives consistent with it. Amen. Let us pray. Father, preserve thy church. Preserve thy church here in the gospel that we have. Such reproval, such preservation takes hard reproval. Such preservation takes chastisement. We pray thy will be done. In mercy here, and forgive us for our inconsistencies. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.